Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Addy, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, let's do it. Coming inside from our Quicken Loans studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on this Wednesday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific every day. You know, Tiki, we've talked for a while now about how the NBA's really effectively morphed into a 10, maybe even an 11-month-a-year conversation sport. I got to say, the timing is, it really illuminates this further and the contrast to the NFL. The NFL news yesterday was the heinous allegations levied against LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Spent the first hour basically on that. Today, the NBA news is one and done, conversations about radically overhauling the playoff system. You tell me which one's more enjoyable.
It's easy to know which one is more enjoyable. We obviously do football at the 40s every day, and I just was commenting to Samter as I was sitting at my cubicle next to his cubicle. This is all bad news. The football at the 40s is always bad news. Now, there's some good things in there, obviously. OBJ looking like he's balling again, which is awesome for my Giants.
And not a surprise.
No, of course
he's
not.
He's going to be.
As long as he's healthy, he's a monster. But compared to the NBA news, the NFL can't get it right, right? Even like the semi-good news with the Cardinals owner Bidwell talking about players should you know, be more vocal and express themselves, it still brings up the negativity of the anthem protest.
Don't say it on game day.
I agree.
Don't do it on game day.
No matter what what news comes out of the NFL is bad, whereas the news that comes out of the NBA is always progressive. It's not reactionary. It's proactive. Mm-hmm. They're addressing the concerns that you have about their game, right? College basketball is getting ruined because of the one-and-done rule. These NBA young players who are studs don't want to even go to school. They want to go to the NBA, but they have to go. So they had the commission on college basketball that was headed by Condoleezza Rice. They come up with a solution. Adam Silver immediately starts the process of enacting it. I mean, it's I don't say it's brilliant. It's just logical. But why can't the NFL do it logically?
Well, a step further, when they implemented that, I love the flexibility that they have built in to change it again.
Yes.
Now, which is where we're going now. You know, listen, I've referenced, and I've said this a few times on the show, really the first Final Four where I was sitting there and I was playing basketball, you know, obviously CYO, a couple of different leagues. I had all my jerseys. I had the hoop in the backyard. I'm watching the Knicks every night. I'm watching local stuff every day on, you know, Saturday, CBS, Billy Packer, watching all the games. The first Final Four was the Georgetown Nova one where I was locked in like a vulture, right? And I've long ago come to the conclusion, and thank God that I enjoyed it that night because those days are never coming back for my son.
Yeah.
Because think about who played that game.
You're right.
Patrick Ewing was a senior. Imagine Patrick Ewing going.
No chance.
Let's not even waste time on that. It's not going to happen. I mean, Patrick, and he was a refined player. It's not like, well, he was raw. I mean, he at that point, he had a jump shot and all that stuff. Hakeem stuck around for a bunch of years. Jordan stuck around. Worthy stuck around. That's the way it was. Mullen, back-to-back Woodens. He was a four-year player, top 10 pick in the NBA. But it changed long ago. But it has gotten to the point where I'd like to see, and I want to be clear, it's not the responsibility of the NBA to fix college.
No.
It's not.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's just not their jurisdiction. Now, if they can help themselves and simultaneously help the college game, that's great for everybody moving forward. But I would like to find somewhere in between from what I watched in 85, where of the 10 players on the court any given moment, you had seven or eight juniors or seniors, to what we have now on the major conferences, the Big Ten, the Big East, the SEC, the ACC, you know, the conferences where, for the most part, there's five or six freshmen, and the play is sloppy.
Yeah,
get somewhere in the middle?
You're watching them for one year, and that's it. Sometimes
can we get somewhere in the middle?
Agreed.
Can we?
I would like to. Now, Adam Silver hasn't clarified what this is going to mean. He's obviously just talking about his state of the NBA, and there's a bunch of things that he brings up, including the potential playoff, the 1 to 16 seeding both the Eastern and Western Conference.
Oh, I got my homework. Oh,
you already did this.
I went old school legal pad on this. I'm ready. Whenever you want to tee it up, don't worry.
And you already did it. But yep. So it wasn't comprehensive. Now, there's certain things that I think would need to happen if they do institute this new rule, no one-and-done rule. Mm. You have to put a minimum in that you have to stay in school, just like the baseball rule, just like the college football rule. I think also you have to start identifying them early. And he mentioned this, and I think he's absolutely right. You have to start identifying these kids early, and it's easier because of the AAU circuit and where they all congregate. Like, all these kids play together.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, they know each other.
Yep.
And it's how some of them end up going to the same colleges. So you have to identify earlier, and just like they currently have the system in place where a kid like DiVincenzo can go test mm-hmm. the waters and whether or not he's going to be viable as a draft pick and then go back to school. They need to give that advice to these up-and-coming high school seniors now. So it's got to be more robust than saying we're getting rid of the one and done. Because what's going to happen, BT, is you're going to get high school player after high school player after high school player who thinks that he's the greatest thing in the world, skipping college to go to the NBA and not even getting a two-way contract.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
There's only so many of those to give out.
You're right. And not every team has it. So yep. The other thing, the last part of this, is that they need to fully institute D-League or now G-League teams for all the teams and make this two-way contract that has been beneficial to some of these players. For those who don't understand what that means, is it used to be you had to sign a 10-day contract. Mm-hmm. Now with a two-way contract, you can get up to 10 or so days in the NBA while you're still playing on the G League team. Yeah. And so if you're there longer, they have to sign you to a full contract. That needs to be robust and defined so that you can develop some of these kids that are 18, just out of high school, in the G League. And then if they're good enough and they show themselves well enough, they know how to stay healthy, they know how to learn an offense, they know how to execute, they're going to be good teammates, they're mature enough to go on the road with grown men and do the things that grown men do on the road, then you can fully bring them up the right way as opposed to just dropping them in, saying good luck, and seeing them fail. Because that's what happens to a lot of them.
And let's not be naive. There would be, I think, a fair amount. It would be pretty sloppy at first because I do think that there would be...
I'm going.
Exactly. There'd be an overreaction and every AAU coach, every desperate parent, you know, every desperate uncle pumping up, gassing up his kid or his nephew, whatever it might be, is a coach, a player-coach relationship, you're ready for the NBA. And you see dollar signs. And then after those players who kind of are guinea pigs in the basketball sense, lab rats, so to speak, they become the deterrent. They become the visual deterrent. Okay, this is what can happen if you make the wrong decision. This is what will probably happen if you make the more prudent decision. Yeah, you might get, you know, two or three years less in terms of maximizing your NBA worth contractually. Mm-hmm. But when you get there, you'll stick.
Yeah.
Because instead of trying to get there when you're 18, you get there when you're 21 or 22, like Mikal Bridges. What are those kids from Villanova? You mentioned DiVincenzo. And, you know, you're more equipped physically, mentally to deal with this. Hey, you know, if you want to enter the NBA at 18, you think you're good enough, go for it.
Yeah.
And then so a few kids will rise to the surface. But I think what we'll see collegiately, this is where we'll all benefit, you'll get the rivalry aspect back.
I agreed.
And that is sorely lacking.
You're right.
Because I want you to comment on that. What was the, I don't know if combustible is the right word, but what added the fuel to the fire with your biggest rivals in the NFL?
Well, it's funny you bring this up, BT, because it's not even necessarily an NFL conversation. This is a college football conversation as well. Because when I was playing, it wasn't, I mean, guys would leave after their redshirt junior year, and that was leaving early.
Yeah.
Like, Rondé got some heat because he left school early.
He
graduated, right? He had a marketing degree, but he was a redshirt junior, right? So he redshirted a year. I didn't. We were seniors in school. We call them fourth years. He'd graduated, but he'd left school early. And that was like a big deal back then.
What a renegade.
Think about that.
Renegade.
But think about that. Yeah. Now kids, they get their 2 years. They're like, see you later.
Yep.
This came up the other day because somebody was talking about the University of Texas and the out-of-conference schedule that UVA played. in 1995. I was with my buddy Blythe. He works for Guggenheim Partners. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing you in 95 when you played Texas. It was a rainy day. I was like, no, that wasn't actually 95. It was 96. Because in 95, we played the University of Texas in Texas.
Okay.
Right? And we lost on a last-second field goal by Phil Dawson. Yeah, with like the world, the wind was swirling. He had no chance of making this kick. He made it. We lost with 0-0 on the clock.
At least he was an NFL kicker.
Yeah. Earlier that year, we lost to Michigan on the last play of the game. Right. So it was just one of those seasons that these things were happening.
Yep.
In that game, the two running backs for the University of Texas, Priest Holmes and Ricky Williams.
Yes, I remember
they,
that.
They
yes.
both rushed for 100 yards. And after the game, all they said was, we remember how big the holes were. So because, I mean, nowadays, they would have bounced, right? Mm-hmm. Ricky definitely would have bounced, right? And I'm going to the NFL, been in college for a couple years, see you later. He came back. Mm-hmm. He played the next year. We had them again because it was a home and home,
yeah,
right? So we had them in Virginia,
yep,
in Charlottesville, at Scott Stadium in 1996, and we destroyed them.
Did you really?
Destroyed them. I had two touchdowns in the first quarter. It was pouring rain. Ricky Williams had, like, I don't know, 20 yards. It was we took it personal.
Okay.
Right? Our defense took it personal. Rondé, Percy Ellsworth, who played for the Giants, yep, James Ferrier, yep, Jamie Sharper. They took it personal. Mm-hmm. And because there was that extension, it wasn't a rivalry, right? It wasn't an ACC rival, but it was a rival that had happened year over year. It made that second game, the one that we won, so much more compelling.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, so when you talk about the rivalry in college, that's what I miss. Mm-hmm. You don't see that as much anymore because so many, especially in college basketball, because guys bounce early. They leave early. They want to go get paid early. It's hard to fault them, but it takes a little bit of something out of college sports, you know, if you know what I'm getting at. 100%.
By the way, I'm being told the official stat line there. Was this an ABC? What channel was this game on? Was this Musburger throwing out the point spread at some point when Tiki scored his third touchdown of the day?
Oh, it was three touchdowns in the first quarter.
You had three touchdowns on the day.
In the first quarter, though, BT.
Well, I showed up early and then you took the rest of the day off.
Have to work any harder? I remember I almost got in trouble because I scored a touchdown, right? And I'm just pumped up. I'm running to the sideline. The referee standing there with his hands up. Like,
give him five?
Give him the touchdown. I gave him five.
Did you really? Yeah. That does not strike me as something you would do.
No, but it
strikes me as something I would do.
I was enthusiastic,
That's
man.
Awesome. I love it. No, but the point is, yeah, three touchdowns, 121 against Texas that year. You guys get revenge. The old saying, familiarity.
Ricky had 44 yards, by the way.
Oof.
I sold him short.
Those linebackers did take it personally, though.
Oh, dude,
though.
They got after
holding him under 50?
That's big. He was awesome.
The old saying, though, familiarity breeds contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no familiarity. You know, that's why I started to ask you about the NFL.
Yeah.
And listen, I certainly appreciate the collegiate comparison better. It's more spirited.
Of course.
It's more pure in every sense, for the most part. You know, some programs,
whatever.
But it's
what we've accepted at this point.
We have intercollegiate athletics. It's the best, and I wish I was good enough to play at a really high level. I just wasn't. But when you play the Eagles twice a year, when you play the Cowboys twice a year, when you play the Redskins twice a year, and you bang helmets with the same three or four linebackers, right, you know, in essence, six times a year,
yep,
when you add each team there, you're going to start disliking each other. Now, you'll have professional respect. Mm-hmm. You might even have some off-the-field relationships, business endeavors, whatever. But when you bump into somebody repeatedly, there's going to be a little friction. And that friction could lead to a little fissure. You know what I mean? That's what happens. And you don't get that now because just when the friction develops in college hoops, boom, bounce into the NBA.
You're right.
So maybe this is the one swift stroke that can help the NBA. Because you always hear, why prevent a young man or a young woman, of course, but, you know, a young man specific to the NBA, the ability to make money if he's proven that he has the talent to do so. All right, so you get rid of that nonsense, which bothers me.
Yeah.
Even though I understand, you know, I get it. I don't want to see kids playing against grown men. I think that's sloppy basketball.
Agreed.
But you satisfy that, and of course you satisfy the rivalry aspect in college basketball.
Yeah. The problem is that, and we can talk about this after our break here, BT, the problem is that so many are going to come. Even with the one-and-done rule where you do have to go to college for a year, nine of the top 11 were one-and-done kids.
Yeah, was a European.
Exactly. Exactly.
Doncic,
so basically
Dallas.
10, because he's a kid as well.
Uh-huh.
Basically 10 of almost 100% are under 20 years old.
And that's not a recent trend.
No.
You're buying based on the projectable.
You're right.
And I'll tell you why. That's why a lot of GMs get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
they project wrong. They get bad information, whatever it is.
But I almost can't blame them because it's such an unknown. You're trying to.
You can't afford not to take the risk.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Because everybody's searching to get that one franchise player. You get him when he's 19, and he gets his second contract when he's 24, 23, 24. And in essence, you have a franchise linchpin for 12, 15, 16 years, and theoretically a chance to win some championships. So everybody's chasing the same thing. It's muddied waters. It's a very inexact science. Scouting always is. But you just got to love where Silver's head is at, what he's thinking about. And, we got to get to this coming up.
Yeah.
It is certainly radical if they overhaul for a better competitive balance, a better system to find more competitive balance. I don't know when it will be implemented. I believe that it eventually will. There are a few pitfalls and things they'll need to navigate, and you and I can do it for them in the meantime. Let's get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney on a busy Wednesday. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in about 22 minutes as well. Thomas Jones, speaking of Virginia football, actor now, good running back, bounced around a lot, but he still had five straight 1,000-yard seasons,
he
over 10, rushing 10,000 for his career. He's in studio, so we got a nice show for you, see what's happening. Get us on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227, right here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Oh, good song, here we go. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Teak, when I see this from my commissioner, boy, I feel pretty good about my sport. How about this? I'm not here to say we have an issue, Sofer said. I love where the league is, but as I said earlier, I think we can create a better system.
Hmm.
And there's a lot more to it, but that's the money part of the quote, because that tells me, see, they're in a great place right now, and they're not complacent.
No.
They're in a great place because Hall of Fame transcendent players are driving the product.
Yep.
Okay? And you've got an iconic team now with three championships in 4 years, and really should have been 4-4. As they were up 3-1 on the Cavs, and of course we know Kyrie Irving hit the shot, all that stuff. Draymond got suspended. They choked that one away. But this is a dominant, dynastic team. So you've got transcendent players around the league. You've got a dynasty, which has always fueled the NBA. And here's the commissioner saying, yeah, but let's just see if there's something else to way to make this better.
Yeah.
That's a smart commissioner.
Because a lot of people want to say, and then Steph Curry actually talked about this as well, when people say that the Golden State Warriors are ruining basketball, that the dynasties are good. It's just part of what the lore of the game, whether it's the Celtics way back when, whether it was the early Lakers, whether it was the Bulls, whether it was now back to the Golden State Warriors. I mean, I think it's great for the league. I don't know why this narrative persists that it's bad for basketball.
I think because there's a sense that there's a predetermination that only so few teams, and this I understand, are truly in the mix to even contend for that championship.
But I would even combat that, because think about the early Golden State Warriors. It was, and when they were dominant, like when they just couldn't be beat.
When they won 73?
Yeah. It's just like, man, this team, even though they lost that NBA Finals, but you know what I mean? It was like, It was enjoyable to watch.
No question.
How dominant they were.
But it was also new.
Exactly.
When that goes on for a couple of years, I think fans start saying.
But let's not forget, BT, they got pushed this year. Yeah, it felt easy because they swept in the NBA Finals, but they got pushed in the Western Conference.
They did.
And so that was entertaining. You can't tell me it wasn't entertaining to see the Rockets almost find a way.
I enjoyed it.
To beat them. So, yeah, it was a foregone conclusion simply because the East is weak. But that's not a dynasty problem.
But that's also different. I hear you. I truly do. It was more when you just look, if you go to NBA Reference or NBA.com, whatever, and you look at the list of champions, and you can do it right now, and you see Warriors, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Warriors. You're like, it's been pretty easy. No, but if you were to actually go series through, even Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, they ripped them up one of those games in New Orleans, and we know what happened with the Rockets and all that stuff. I mean going into a season, like entering, and we're a couple of weeks away from this show turning into a monster NFL vehicle.
I mean,
just a monster vehicle.
It's just what happens.
Yep, and we can't wait for it to happen.
You're right.
But as we enter the NFL season, you and I, and it wouldn't be like far-fetched, a reach, like a contrived segment. We can literally make, present an impassioned plea that at least 10 teams can win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. At least.
No, you're right.
How many teams can we do that for the NBA?
You can't.
One?
You,
two?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah, look.
Right now,
it happens every year, BT.
Maybe three.
There's a team that goes from worst to first. It happens every single year in the National Football League. And eventually that team goes in and competes for a championship. And in fact, last year, the worst team in the NFC East won the championship the next year. Talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. So that parity is something that Adam Silver also talked about. And it was interesting how he positioned it. He said, I don't want parity for parity's sake. I want parity of opportunity so that teams who are bad and historically moribund can have those same opportunities that the really good teams do.
Now, so well stated. The way he positioned it was perfect.
I think that's smart,
yep.
Right? All sports are copycats, right? It's copycat league. You do what I do, and it's successful, then you may find success as well. I don't know if that's an executive conversation or if that's the access to player conversation, and that may mean that a salary cap is coming. Even though it wasn't stated, or harder salary cap, I should say, as opposed to the soft one right now. If you blow through it and you're going to get, tax $100 million, you don't care because your bottom line isn't really affected because you're winning championships is probably more revenue generating than not. So I see this as a precursor to more strict cap rules, even though he didn't specifically state that.
No, Van Gundy actually went in on that a little bit here. Let's hear from the commission. Go ahead, guys.
I'm not here to say we have a problem, but and I love where the league is right now. But as I said earlier, I think we can create a better system. We learn from each successive deal. I don't necessarily think it's per se bad that the Warriors are so dominant. As I've said before, we're not trying to create some sort of forced parity. What we really focus on is parity of opportunity. And a fair point could be made in a tax system when certain teams are spending significantly more than others, that's not parity of opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he dots a lot of I's there. And then he goes into the imbalance with the conferences here, which I'd like to say it's cyclical, but it doesn't really feel like it's that cyclical.
It's been a long time.
Been a minute. I mean, West is just pounding the East for a long time, and it's not going to change anytime soon. It's getting worse. But when he talks about reseeding, 1 through 16, he says, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, it's pretty lengthy, but it says, as a paraphrase, it's very appealing to him and the fans, but it would be a dramatic increase in travel. You and I talked about that a while ago. So logistically, there's, and he actually throws a number, roughly 40 to 50% more travel. He says, it doesn't mean we can't, doesn't mean we don't want to, but this is something that's got to really get into the laboratory, and we have to just, it's more than just throwing out a notion out there. They've got to really slice this apart in a lot of ways and get after it. I actually did all that. I don't want to just throw it in now because there's a lot to it, but I don't know logistically. Maybe we'll break on time for once. give Spitzy a good going away gift here. And we can do this before inbounds out of bounds. Because I think when you actually look at the way it breaks down, at least this past season, I don't know if the travel is that much of an issue that they would actually have to navigate. When you look at if they rearrange it and they reseed 1 through 16, the East and the West melding into one. So we can get to that. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Thomas Jones in studio at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Axeman update coming at you right now. Here's Rich.
All right, Itiki and Tierney back on a Wednesday here. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. A little inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a sec. There's soccer going on. There's tennis going on. Just bombarded by my favorite sports. All right, time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds in a minute. As I said, just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag to identify it. Hashtag ask the pros and stick around. Listen later on. Teague and I will answer the most compelling one right before we get out of here around 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
There is some synergy, BT.
What's that?
England is playing in the all-white, and at Wimbledon, the tennis that BT was referring to, you're required to wear white.
Yeah, you are.
So there you go.
Are.
If we were watching tennis, we'd see all-white.
getting used to putting these things on. Like I think you get in a rhythm where you know when you want to read. I'm still kind of probably doing it a little bit too much. I got to get used to flipping
it's
the.
Good. I don't mind.
It's like the sunglasses in baseball. Yeah, yeah. I had to get used to those. Boy, times change.
My mom
I get used to
my
these.
Mom's the same way. Same way. She told me at 40 I'd have the issue. I've gotten lucky.
Yeah, you're doing all right.
I've gotten lucky.
You're doing okay with the vision.
Sometimes
my,
I
long
see
distance. My vision's phenomenal. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
See down the fairway, 300 yards. I mean, not that I'm hitting 300 yard drives, but you know, where's your ball?
Damn, oh, I just went in the rough. 302.5 yards.
Yeah. No, but you played with some people. They're like, "Where'd my ball go?"
Yeah,
they're
know.
Looking at the left rough. I'm like, "Dude, you're in the right rough." I mean, what the hell are you looking
at? I hear
at?
You. I hear
long
you.
Distance. My vision's great. It's the reading from the computer.
When I'm tired.
And the phone.
When I'm tired.
Yeah.
I can't read anything. Like I need glasses.
Do you have them at home?
I do, but when I'm tired, I can't see anything.
Do you use the glasses, just don't read?
No, I'll use the glasses.
One or two
I'll use the glasses.
I got you.
I'm not like Samter. I haven't fully converted to books on tape.
Uh-huh.
Books on tape.
I'll never do that.
Lazy reading.
Nah, I'll never do that. Nah,
slash lazy reading.
Nah, I can't do that. Does that really work?
Awesome. On my bike, walking down the street, in the subway.
Hmm?
I love books. Yeah. I hate reading. So books on tape solves all of it.
What a statement. Boy, is that if that doesn't encapsulate this show.
That is
I love books.
I hate reading. That is such a tweetable statement.
We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a second. Two quick things. One was last night. This will take 30 seconds. And then I just want to give you some of an overreaction to the logistics of travel if they were to reset the seating in the West and the East here. But I'm watching SportsCenter last night. It's, you know, just a middle of the week, Tuesday, July 10th, right? 11 o'clock, SportsCenter comes on Eastern. Lying in bed, starting to fall asleep. Pop it on for a few minutes. Now, they could have led with Wimbledon, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Could have led with McCoy, if they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what they led with?
Ronaldo.
No. And they could have led with that as well, with the 100 euro million transfer to Italy, right? No. They led with. Now, part of it is that it's part of their baby. Mm-hmm. They led with the NBA Summer League. And they had Doris Burke, who does great work.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Via split screen in Vegas, talking about Kevin Knox and others. That's how they started SportsCenter.
Interesting.
I mean, so if that doesn't tell you where the NBA is, right? Again, part of it is it's their product. It's their company. You know, it's like CBS. Mm-hmm. We have the Masters.
Yeah.
Anytime we can get the Masters out there for good business, you do it. But it does paint a picture of just the growth of the NBA. All right, real quick on this, all right? So I went through, and if we were to reseed East and West all-encompassing rather than 8-8 and just 1 through 16, like the NCAA in a region, this past season, 9 Western Conference teams would have made it and 7 from the East would have made it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
Yeah, not as imbalanced as it seems.
No, like if it was like 13-3, maybe a little less interest or vigor to discuss. But it's balanced, basically as balanced as it could get, you know, outside of 8-8. Rockets, Raptors, Warriors, Celtics, Sixers. All right, those are the top 5. Cavs, Portland, Pacers, Thunder, Jazz, Pelicans, Spurs through 12. T-Wolves, Nuggets, Heat, and Bucks through 16. Now, tell me, you know, first of all, the main issue is travel, as Commissioner Silver estimated, about a 40-50% increase in travel. And that's a problem if it's true.
You're right.
I don't know that it's true.
Not always. It can't always be true.
It definitely can't always be true. There's no way. The 116 matchup this year would have been Rockets-Bucks. All right, you know what? Bucks would have lost in all probability for sure. But, you know, Giannis versus James Harden, there's interest.
You're right.
Is it the worst travel situation? Not really.
Not
it's
really.
Not like California.
No, it's not
to
east,
Miami.
It's not fully east to west. It's more north-south.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
Raptors-Heat, 215 matchup. We've gotten that in the past.
No doubt.
Boom, no problem. 314, the Warriors and the Nuggets. No problem. Western Conference. The Celtics and the T-Wolves, 4-13 matchup.
Not bad at all.
Not bad, even though it's east-west.
It's such an easy flight, though.
Well, it's like Boston to Detroit, Boston to Milwaukee, Boston to Minnesota. It's basically the same thing. 5-12, 76ers, Spurs. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That you'd have to tack on an extra day or so built-in leverage there for travel purposes. Then you would have the Cavaliers and the Pelicans, 6-11. All right, not perfect, but not awful by any stretch.
Yeah, Cleveland to New Orleans, it's easy.
Blazers, Jazz, 7-10.
Yeah.
That's fine. And the Pacers and the Thunder. So Indianapolis to Oklahoma City, I'm guessing 800 miles? I mean, 900 miles? Not that bad.
No.
So is he overreacting? Is he trying to buy time? Or is this just maybe a one-year reaction and it worked out favorably?
Yeah, it's probably that latter. It's just a one-year reaction. But if you went back and looked historically over the last 5 or 6 years, whatever.
Which number. I will, by the way. Yeah. I might do that at some point.
You do, and you go look at those matchups. If it was 1 to 16 seeded East-West combined, you'd probably have some significant travel issues. But not all of them would be significant.
And nothing you can't overcome.
Yeah, you're right.
They stretch these series out too much as it is.
100% agree.
Now you'd have justification in stretching it out.
You're right. And guess what? TV would love that. Whoever's the carrier would love it. You'd have more than... Already the 2 months that it seems like you have
more money
for the NBA postseason.
More money.
Exactly.
Inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, T?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. Steelers wideout Antonio Brown turned 30 yesterday. But doesn't seem all too concerned about it, saying, quote, I don't pay attention to my age. I'm feeling great. I'm healthy, and I'm in great shape, end quote. At the time of their 30th birthdays, Brown and Jerry Rice's stats are pretty comparable, with Brown actually having more receptions by a pretty fair amount, 733 to 549, and more receiving yards, about 600 difference, a shade under 10,000 for both. Virtually the same there. So Rice is far away the leader in both categories, though, with over 22,000 receiving yards and 1,500 receptions. Everybody's chasing him, and they will be forever. In or out, Brown does have a chance to surpass Rice in either category.
This is inbounds, man. I think now there's a lot of factors in here. One is that Antonio Brown's quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, is turning he's 36 already. Ben Roethlisberger is 36. Mm-hmm. And so at some point he's going to retire, and Antonio Brown's not going to have a star quarterback to throw him the rock. And we see when Ben has been out with injuries or otherwise, his production falls way off. Injury, attrition is one thing. Here's the thing, though. Antonio Brown has unbelievable seasons. There's a chance he's going to have an 1,800-yard season one year or a couple years. I know just from statistical analysis, he's got to have a pace of about 1,500 yards for the next 7 years for him to catch Jerry Rice. Is that not undoable? I mean, to me, of course it is. And I think he will catch more passes simply because they throw the ball a lot more now than they did when Jerry Rice was playing.
Oh, man, this is a pipe dream. He's got no chance. He's out of bounds here. I wish him full health. I truly do. But you have to incorporate the possibility that he's going to get hurt at some point, whether it's a concussion. I mean, listen, Jerry Rice, I mean, I'm looking at his stats here. From 85 to 2004.
That's ridiculous. 42. Play till he's 42.
You want to put that into perspective. Think about what you were wearing in 1985, I was probably wearing fat laces. I swear to God, with Adidas shell tops. With a gold chain, right? And in 2004...
Yeah, you're working for a living.
I was... Yeah, I mean, I looked like a completely different person.
No, you were in the same thing.
Please.
Don't lie. You were in the same
thing. I wish. I loved those fat... My dad hated them. I had like 9 pairs. I loved them. Those things were awesome. So it's not going to happen. Your first point is probably the best point. Big Ben retires. They very well might go through a cycle of 3, 4, 5 guys, a retread, a failed rookie, or whatever. So that's the other part. And I don't know if this is a huge factor, but weather. Now, San Francisco back in the day, where they used to play, you know, a little wet, below sea level, a little moist and all that, a little windy and a little dank. But compare that to Cleveland and Baltimore, the division, the AFC North versus Jerry Rice played
that's
in.
Good point.
This is out of bounds.
Yeah,
There's no chance.
But we have global warming, so our winters aren't as bad as...
That's true. Things change. You're going to have to adjust that. That's fair.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. Current free agent Isaiah Thomas joked on social media earlier today that he misses his Boston family and, quote, tell Boston I'll be back for a year. Of course, he had to drop the LOL so he knew where he was coming from. End quote or end tweet. Thomas currently without a team, mainly because teams aren't sold that he's healthy. In or out, despite his messy divorce from the Celtics, Boston should bring him back next season.
You know what? As crazy as this is, I think this is inbounds, man. I think, obviously, he's desperate to find a team. His heyday was in when he was up in Boston. Now, it's very different now in Boston than it was when he was making so much noise up there because of the additions of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and even Rozier. So it's not as if they need him to be the superhero, but I think he's a very good player when he's healthy. So as long as he's healthy, absolutely do this, Boston. And it's going to cost you significantly less than it would have if you had kept him and tried to sign him to a long-term deal.
This is hard because my answer is inbounds. Let's get that out of the way. I'm saying inbounds here, but it's hard because every image of Isaiah Thomas outside of the creaky image of him coming back with the Cavaliers a year ago – Everything before that was on burst and speed and misdirection and bounce and, you know, quick twitch stuff. If that hip is a problem, he's 5'8", and he's not going to grow taller. No. So he's a you can just bang him in the post. You shoot over him. Defensively, he's a complete zero. I say inbounds, though, because you can capitalize on a depressed market and roll the dice that if he gets healthy, you get a little bang for the buck.
Yep.
I think the more prudent signing would be the Rockets. I would love to see him come off the bench for the Rockets, play 18 to 25 minutes a night in D'Antoni's system.
That's actually a good call.
And jack up some shots, but sentimentality strong in my world, so I say inbounds. I didn't like the way it ended for the Celtics with his sister getting killed. Yeah. And I'm not saying that Danny, a player on the roster because somebody loses. I mean, it's still business, but that would be a good story, so I'll say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, last night the Astros beat the A's. Unique walk-off, a 5-foot dribbler by Alex Bregman. This was crazy in the 11th. But nearly lost the game after holding a 4-0 lead in the ninth. Closer, Kenny Giles, who's been a disaster.
Yeah.
Let up three. They need to upgrade that. But everybody talks about Machado. Astros better get something in the bullpen, otherwise they're not going to repeat. But Ken Giles let up three straight hits, three singles, all right, to open the inning. Was pulled for Hector Rondon, who proceeded to allow all inherited runners to score to tie the game. When A.J. Hinch pulled Giles from the game, you could see Giles mouthing, "Bleep you, man," to a skipper before walking away in disgust. Hinch discussed it after the game.
I heard him. He was pretty mad in the dugout. I don't know, man. That stuff happens in the heat of battle. I'll have to look at it. You know, he can let me know if it was directed at me. I didn't hear anything, and you can certainly understand that I'll address it if it turns out it was at me, then we'll talk about it.
We've had Hinch on the show a few times, although since he won the World Series, he got a little bit too big for us, and we don't forget that. But we've had him on a lot. Stanford man, good guy. He's pretty measured, but there was a few interesting things just if you really listen there. All right, so in or out, cursing out your skipper for pulling you from the game is acceptable heat of the moment behavior.
Out of bounds, man. You save it. Especially not like this. Not walking off the mound as he did here. It's one thing if you're in the privacy of the locker room, and if the story ever gets out, it's one that you tell or the skip tells. This is out of bounds to me because it just creates a impression and a perception of disrespect for the skip, and that doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, it also creates the perception that it's a lawless environment. It you know, puts A.J. Hinch in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say inbounds for this reason, with the caveat. Now, understanding this could certainly be a foreshadow of a bigger issue, and I think that it is.
Yeah.
I think Giles is not long for the Astros, and I think, you know, just by Hinch's tone, you're able to deduce that. Depends, just in generalities, though, in terms of actually cursing out a manager, depends on the relationship. John Gibbons is a fiery guy for Toronto. You know, if you're a fiery type and you have that kind of freedom and that two-way street, you've got to know the relationship and the people involved. It's a big boy sport. It didn't touch him. Sometimes you say something you don't mean. Just get together like men and make amends here. But for the most part, I have no problem with this. I say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek, the Rays, they finished either last or next to last in average attendance every year since 2011. Prompting all-time Rays great and Giants star Evan Longoria to suggest the team leave Tampa. Many people have said that. Not a real surprise. Not a real original thought. They're drowning there. However, the Rays just unveiled plans. You see this?
Yeah.
For a new $900 million stadium that will hold just 30,000 seats, which is interesting. There's a picture up on CBS Sports Network. Kind of looks the same in some ways. It really does.
Just smaller.
A little bit. And hope to move in around 2023 if approved by the city. Buzzkill, it won't be. In or out, the Rays should move to another stadium in Tampa.
Well, ask the mayor. Ask Rondé Barber, and then maybe you can get this done down in Tampa. I say this is inbounds, BT, because if you put this stadium in Tampa and not over in St. Pete, more importantly, at the bottom of the peninsula in St. Pete, where it's impossible to get to. It's an hour trip just to get there. And most of Tampa proper is not going to take that trip on a blazing hot day. But you put it in the city center near where all the other stadiums are. You have a roof so you can have temperature control. I think the fans are there. It's just the feasibility of going where it is now just doesn't make sense. I say inbounds.
There's a lot of hot cities in the country where fans still flock to watch a game. I mean, we're going to use the weather as a deterrent? Come on.
The weather plus the traffic.
Traffic in New York?
No.
I mean, I don't know, in L.A., New York, they go to Dodger games and go to the Yankee Stadium. Are you kidding me?
You ever been over that bridge, that Clearwater bridge?
Several times.
I like Clearwater. It's a pain in the ass.
Out of bounds here, and I'll tell you why. It is a New York Yankee, a Boston Red Sox market. Here's the other problem. Fundamental in his business, I know you do a lot of business, you'll appreciate this. This is sloppy. This is desperation. I like downsizing to create demand, but 30,000 seats, what happens if they ever stumbled upon a dynasty? The Warriors were terrible for years. They're a dynasty.
Yeah.
They would put themselves in a position where they would hemorrhage money. If they're in the World Series, say, 2 out of 4 years, you have 30,000 people at a World Series game?
Yeah, maybe not planning on being that good.
Well, then or, you got to plan on going.
Or you consult with Jerry Jones's people and do it like Jerry World down there.
To expand it?
The seats on rails. So you can
the Cardinals have that, I think, too. Yeah. Something like
so you can slide more seats in
there. I love the creativity, and I love the fact that they're trying to get this done. But when you have to move mountains that much to get people to your game, it ain't working. It ain't working. Thomas Jones in studio coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.